This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. And this is The Unview here on CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford with the one and only Nathan Rowe. Good morning, Nathan Rowe.
Good morning, Alan Ford. How are you?
Kisses from coast to coast.
Kisses from coast to coast?
Yes. Lovely throughout South Africa and throughout the world.
Oh.
Yeah, we're sending kisses.
It's a nice thing to say. It's
I thought smiles.
There's a mile between the two S's.
How are you?
That kind of thing. I'm wonderful, thank you. I had a wonderful Nelson Mandela Day.
67 minutes for Tata.
Yeah.
Madiba.
I don't know if I made the full 67 minutes. I may have like half-assed that one a little bit.
Why?
Well, it was an awkward situation, actually. What happened was, I was driving along, and this guy knocks on my window, mm-hmm. you know.
As they do.
A homeless man mm-hmm. Wanting some money. And I looked at his face and I knew him. I actually went to school with him.
You serious?
Yeah. And this it's so weird because then you really start like examining your motivations
That's
and things
crazy.
In life. You know, you start thinking like, why does this shock me more than a regular homeless person, you know? So I kind of helped him out, got him some groceries, things like that. But I think it only took me 30 minutes. So I know that's not the important thing.
No, here. It's not. The point is that it's interesting. I mean, you're not.
Yeah.
You're quite young. And how did he end up? Did you ask him what is he doing there?
I don't know the full story.
I mean, it's a good question. Why is it we went to the same school with the same possibilities and you are begging on the side of the road?
I think it's that easy that it can actually happen to anyone, you know, given the right circumstances.
A perfect storm,
perhaps.
Sure.
Yeah. Scary, huh?
That is scary.
Yeah.
But at least
so just know, Al, that if I ever saw you...
That you'd buy me groceries.
That I would buy you groceries. I might not recognize you with facial hair, but I would try.
Sure. And you remember him? You were in class together?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we went to high school together. So it was...
Why didn't you ask the question?
Ask what question? How did it happen?
How did he get to that situation?
Well,
where does he live?
It was a... He was staying in a park, public park. And he...
Scary.
Yeah, I mean, he had fallen on... His perfect storm was a combination of drugs,
okay,
an ex-wife, custody battles,
okay,
depression.
All right.
You know,
there's a key element: drugs.
Yeah,
I'm calling it. You go onto the streets, and I'm saying you get a lot of poor homeless people, but a lot of the people, it's drugs, it's alcohol, and you know, it's the glue, it's the tickets. I'm not saying judge anyone. I'm trying to say it's a big factor.
I think anything that's addictive can actually have that effect, whether it's
absolutely
gambling or porn or anything that costs money, basically, that you're addicted to. You can spend everything on it, you know. Scary.
But I've never seen porn people on the streets. No, but I mean, seriously.
Haven't you? They're the guys
addicts.
That are masturbating in a bush.
Did you see that? Did you see that video?
No.
I must show you.
I did see a video of a guy humping a tree in a public on a public road.
I'm going to show you something, and I seriously.
It's called dendrophilia.
I cannot believe that we're opening the show with this type of nonsense. We're talking about Madiba and beautiful things, and now we're going into masturbating against a tree. But I'll introduce my guest right now. But please have a look at this here, and I'm going to put the sound on, and Nathan, play it.
I don't want to hear it.
No, but just watch this.
Well, I don't know if
I... Now, I had to turn around to fucking do this, but...
War on radio.
This is just unbelievable. Yours are going to fucking...
He's driving in KwaZulu-Natal, this man.
It's just fucking unbelievable. But this is what I've just walked into.
There's a man. Look at that man's doing.
And that's what he's doing. Just on the side of the road, on the way to Wartburg.
He's completely buck naked.
It's a strange thing.
Having special time against a pole.
My goodness.
Seriously. Tracy, do you have a look at that?
What do you think has to happen in your life?
But I mean,
what's that guy's story?
To do that.
I don't think that's drugs. I think that's porn.
I saw a video once of a woman washing herself in town.
Washing herself?
She was on the street. She was in the middle, slap bang, Johannesburg town, downtown, I suppose. She was naked, But she was quite a voluptuous woman, so you could see her boobs, but you know, all the other bits were like kind of like
covered with
the flabbergastedness.
Yeah.
But she was washing herself. And she was going for it also. She was doing a thorough job.
At least it's for a good cause.
But I mean, at least she's clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hygiene comes first, guys.
Guys, I want to just say that, sorry. you get shocked in your life because I didn't expect the start of the show to go with me.
Yeah.
But now we know what's on your brain, Alan.
Yeah.
We didn't even hear about your Nelson Mandela Day.
It was wonderful. Gareth and myself with this Cliff Central team went along to a school, a creche in Turfantine. We built a sandpit. We had the Spur come through and do some great stuff with feeding the kids and all the Spur characters. Really lots of fun. And it was a very joyous, happy day. And that's what we did.
Thanks for the invite.
So it was there. It was on. Yeah, you should have come.
What was it on?
Was one of the Spur characters, that black lady and that white guy that got into it. Were those one of the Spur characters that came with?
That would be great for the kids.
I'm just saying.
Welcome to the show.
Punch and Judy.
It was really fun. And you know what? Spending a bit of joy and love is a very, very good thing. In studio, our very special guest today, Mr. Rowe, is the one and Wesley Swain Lauder, who is a well-known actor. Of course, he's been in Sweeney Todd, Peter Pan, Starlight Express, and now he's in a great, great new show called The Mystery of Irma Vep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
With Jonathan Rocksmith. And then, of course, actress, singer, comedian. We've seen her from
List more. What's more on the
dancer? Jim Fundy.
Of late Jim Fundy.
Sexy. Could have been Miss South Africa.
Ooh. Should
have been Miss South Africa.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. And I love you even more.
Tracy Lee Oliver, thank you for joining us in
thank
studio.
You for
Grabo representative.
Booyah.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
You both Capetonians?
No, I'm from Johannesburg.
Are you born in Bridgeover?
Yes, but my mom's from Cape Town, so I feel like I'm...
Man, you're from Cape Town, then you're from Cape Town.
Then I'm from
but
Cape
she's not
Town.
From Grabo, huh?
No, she's from Woodstock.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Still legit.
See, I've been through all my biogs. I'm getting confused with my special guest on the line is Robert Hobbs, who's an actor in a show called Break Your Face, but he's performed with he's been directed by Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
He's worked with Denzel Washington. And he's from Cape Town, so we got confused there for a quick moment. But welcome into studio, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So you all know each other in this business?
Yes, Wesley and I have known each other since birth, yeah, and basically.
Basically, you had your twins?
Yes,
yeah.
Recently we worked together.
I mean, we came out
the
womb singing, you know, show
survive.
Tunes and all those things.
So how did you meet the two of you?
No, honestly, we
we've known each other
we
for
just
a
known
long
each
time
since because we both have I have a theatre background and
I have a theatre background.
Yeah, so
we sort of like met in the industry and then we worked together
industry
recently.
Folk.
We worked together.
The ones who actually like one another. Yes. you know how it goes.
Yes.
Ooh, Tracy, you're doing the Kings and Queens of comedy.
Yes, tomorrow night.
I know.
I've been telling people it's Saturday. I got my dates mixed up.
It's going to be such a great show.
It's going to be so great.
I've got a gay Shabbos. Seriously, it's a gay Shabbos.
What makes it gay?
Because it's only gay people.
Because it's happy.
It's
a gay Shabbos. I'm going to a gay. My beautiful friend Jason Gunn is hosting a gay Shabbos. Just for gay friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just, obviously, you know, not like some people have a straight Shabbos, I guess. But so I can't attend, which I'm so disappointed because I would love to have gone. I mean, the lineup is great. Tumi Moraki.
Yeah. Tumi Moraki, Joey Resdeen. We've got Mark Banks, who is my comedy godmother.
Yeah.
We love him.
We've got Mpo Pops. We've got Demiso Lindy.
Sure.
We've got Rob van Vieren.
Yeah, we've got
Krija Govender.
Some really big
Kalise
names.
Kalise Bunu. Can I name more?
Yeah.
I mean,
Kings and Queens of Promise. Okay.
Sorry,
that's going to be
Jared Leto. Shut up, Jared.
What just happened there?
Can we just not be pretty and talented?
Yeah.
I mean,
so let's start with you, Tracy. Let's look at so powerhouse singer, comedian, actress, voiceover artist. Okay. You came from Grabo, where the Boerewors comes from in Woolworths. You know, you
Best
Boerewors.
Do you know what they're most famous for?
For what?
I know this.
Drop it like it's hot.
Appetizer.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boom.
Appetizer. Oh, yes. That is our claim to fame. Appetizer is made in Grabo. Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. Y'all didn't know that. Check the bottle next time. At the back it says Grabo.
Because the apples are there, right? All the apples farms are there.
We are just
in
surrounded
that
by apples.
Next to, and Tracy, the way to Amanda,
that's, which is actually my least favorite fruit.
I was actually going to ask you, Tracy. So you growing up in Grabo, when did you realize the apple industry was not
for you,
what you wanted to do?
So I never liked apples.
Oh.
Never.
Is it that
since
easy?
Since I was a little kid. No, yeah, I didn't like it.
So yeah, I'm going to do stage and theatre.
Screw the apples. I'm a sing.
Wesley, what fruit did you not like that got you into theatre? Or was it because you liked fruit?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah,
divine.
So you either dislike fruit or you are one.
Or you are one.
But I get what you're saying, Tracy Lee. You know, it's like pick a lily. That's quite opposite. It's like pick a lily. But my mom and them used to put pick a lily on my sandwiches throughout my life, so I hate pick a lily. Same as apples. I'm sure you have fed
What's
apples.
Pick a lily? What is
it? It's like this yellow mayonnaise stuff with onion.
Sorry, I'm colours from the farm. We don't know what that is.
So that's the point is, that's why you hate apples.
That's actually not why.
They fed you too many apples.
No, it's yellow.
It's like a white thing.
Oh, gumla.
What?
Tracy's apples are like Ellen's pick a lily.
That's a tweet. That's
disgusting.
That's
I don't know what that even means, but it's provocative.
Let's continue. So, I mean, you started singing at the age of 3. But, I mean, let's think about your start in the business. Project Fame.
Afrikaans
Idols.
That's where I met Nathan.
Yes, the two of you were in that.
Yeah, we were in Project Fame together.
We
lived in a house. Yeah,
for three months with cameras all around.
Was it fun?
And
I mean, did you get up to any? What was the naughtiest
no,
thing
you
happened?
No, you know,
I never see the two of you. I mean,
and this is the weird thing. He's not Nathan to me. He's Jono to me. Anyway, but I'll say Nathan for the sake of the interview.
Thank you.
But Nathan and I, we clicked immediately when we met. We were just like besties. And so I kind of watched him go through some stuff that maybe.
What
we
did you do?
But
it's funny. Let's talk about it. No, we're talking about it.
It's funny that Alan asked what the naughtiest thing we did was, because I think the only thing we got in trouble for was like having a Bible study in the house. And you're like, you can't have religious stuff on TV.
Really?
True. Yeah. I mean, I was like super, super.
You were so saved.
Religia. I was
you
saved.
You were so saved.
I would have evangelized you.
Yeah.
Al. I would have prayed away the gay.
Okay. Has that been done before?
I don't think so.
I don't think it can be done, actually.
It's called suppression.
People, on a serious note, you cannot pray away the gay.
Yeah, it's what it is.
You can suppray it.
And then you were in The Voice recently.
Yes, last year, the first season.
And the first season, what was that like?
It was all right.
Why?
No, because I didn't get through to the live shows. I was so pissed off because I really, really wanted to get through to the live shows. But I got through to, I went through to blind auditions, and then I went through battles, and then the battles I lost.
I want to ask the question because I think
so
it's,
pissed off,
but the war was won.
But hold on. I remember your performance as Dina. In Dream Girls, I remember it very well because
so
I saw three
ago.
Times. It was fabulous.
You saw Dream Girls three times.
Three times, okay.
Wow. I saw six.
It was that divine, actually.
It
Hazel Feldman, a great, phenomenal production, Showtime. And I remember what a great. I mean, when the mirrors come on stage and you come out in that dress. I mean, it is an incredible.
Big ass LED screens. Yeah,
it was an incredible.
And those mirrors. Yes, I know exactly what scene you're talking about now.
I spoke to Hazel, and of course, it's one of her saddest. One of the most disappointing things, because it was for her the most phenomenal show that unfortunately didn't see its way to Cape Town because it took such a dip.
It's such a sore subject still. You can ask any cast member of Dreamgirls.
Because it was superb.
Very sore subject.
It was brilliant. But you did your Dreamgirls, and then you did Motown and Nights of Music. Then you went on to do wonderful comedy, and I mean you've always been on the scene. Since
hustling, baby, hustling,
and I remember performing in shows for Bidvest with David Block.
Yes, lots of corporates. Yeah, yeah.
Why did you feel the need to keep jumping back into the reality scene? Because you did it three times.
Okay, so the first time, obviously, you know, it was for obvious reasons.
Yeah, well,
which is sold to you like
a
break into the industry. I'm living in Grabo, so I literally went from Grabo not really having a professional career. I was an HIV counselor at the time living in Grabo. And then from there on, jumping into Project Fame, obviously that was for obvious reasons. Came to Joburg. Then went back home for about 8 months and then decided to move to Joburg. All on my ace, on my ear. And then after that, I did Afrikaans Idols. But it was, I think, besides The Voice, because I'll get to The Voice in a second, but the other two reality shows was literally to get my face on the scene so that people could just get the exposure. And then for The Voice, I was, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I was kind of recruited.
Okay.
Because that's, they had that, yeah, they had that kind of thing where they were like,
Okay,
we're doing this first season. Do you want it? And then I thought, okay, for funsies, sure, why not? It's another way of, you know, exposing
yourself.
Myself.
But you didn't.
Do you often expose yourself?
I do. I try and keep it decent.
Not like that guy on YouTube.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the video on YouTube is about a man on the side of the road having a good time. Seriously, he looks like a cane rat, this gentleman.
Sorry, Al. I'm just trying to keep a golden thread going through our show today.
So that's, I mean, it's interesting. So you were you disappointed, though? Or were you just, excuse the language, like a tool or a gimp for that production?
A gimp?
Yeah, well,
no.
It's a hard word. It's a harsh word. But you were just brought in because we needed some faces to keep it going, and then, or did you think you had a chance of winning?
Did you have that expectation? No. That sounds a bit like malicious. No, I don't think that was the case at all. I think.
I'm not trying to be malicious.
No. Question. Yeah. No, I don't think that was the case at all. I think everybody there for the show. Well, first of all, it's a great show because you don't get judges, you get coaches. So it's a very positively driven show, right? And I think everybody's intention for that first season was just to make it a great show. Mm. And yeah, and get as many, you know, talented people.
Were you disappointed?
It's
a fair question.
Yeah, but it was momentarily I was disappointed because I realized that I kind of got myself out of something I would have been still stuck in. Do you know what I mean? Like contractually, I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
I'm better off.
Can I ask Chase something? I know that you're very diverse. We listed your many talents at the beginning of the show. Singing, dancing, acting, a whole bunch of things. Do you ever find that people want to box you? They're like, No, you're this flavor of ice cream. You belong in this box. And someone diverse, like you do comedy, people are like, but aren't you a singer?
Mm.
Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, I get it a lot, and then I walk away and count till 10 so that I don't kill anyone. Because we can't, in 2017, still be thinking about people just being one kind of thing or being talented in one kind of area. If you are multi-talented, you must take it and you must freaking run and you must make as much money as you can and build your brand and just go for it.
Yes,
and the fact that people do that, I can't deal with it. Yeah, sorry, Alan.
I say advice in this industry, it's very simple. If you can be on stage, be on stage.
Yes.
If you can be on TV, be on TV. If you can direct, if you can produce, if you can sing, if you can do what you can do, because I promise you, you need it all.
Mm-hmm.
You need as much as possible because the flavor of the month keeps changing.
Keeps changing. And
that's
we are a small industry. South Africa is not America, and it's not Europe, and it's not like
Australia.
The UK or Australia. Yes, and it's like you can't. You have to hustle. You know, guys, you know what it's like. You know what the rand is like. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on, like, economically. I have to do this. And not just for those reasons, but just because I bloody well can.
So what you're saying is
I want to have the audacity to do whatever it is I want to do. Yeah.
Every time Zuma says a speech, you basically whip out a new skill. It's like, oh, basically. Man, damn, I need to make that R3 up to the dollar every month.
Wesley. Swain, Lada.
Yes.
Welcome to studio.
Hi.
That's a lot of names.
Well, I don't know why I use my second name, but I thought it had a young ring to it, so I just threw it in there.
It's beautiful. I love it. It sounds so fancy.
Thank you.
How did you break into the industry?
Fuck.
Okay.
You can say it.
You can say it on this.
You can even say it straight into Mike as loud as
you can. You can say it.
Come, say it.
Sorry. Good morning, everyone. How did I break into the industry? I've also done quite a many things. I originally as a performer, I my first ever professional production was Buddy Holly Story, at the State Theatre, which we speak very fondly of as being a flop, so that's okay. We can say it on air. And it was a monumental flop.
Who was batting that one?
Andrew Webster.
Was Andrew in that one, Shane?
Yes. Oh, we spoke to him.
So, Joseph Clark, Rod, Jonathan Maxwell. I love Andrew.
They've all been buddies.
I do. They've all been buddies.
And Craig Abbott. Craig as well.
But he was the most lauded one. Yeah. He won all the awards overseas.
Okay. Yes.
And then from there, it sort of just spiraled. I've done a couple of pantos, and I've performed, on many stages and with awesome people and done awesome shows. And then about a couple of years ago, I started directing choreographing, which turned into something pretty awesome, which is what I've been doing of late. And recently now I'm back on stage, which is awesome.
So you're also a dancer?
I am.
Wow. So look at you whipping out the skills as well.
I love that. So we get people to sing in the studio. We're going to get you to dance in the studio. Yes.
That'll be lovely. Yeah, I'd love to see him wiggle a little jiggle.
Yeah, you can, 100%. Okay,
yeah, so definitely.
Okay, that's very, very... Is your first love dance?
Funny. No. I think my first love is dance, but I only really started training dance when I was 18, when I went to study, and then I sort of, realized that I had a sort of like a flair for it and something that I was pretty good at. Well, what I thought was good at, but it's difficult because speaking about boxes, everyone thinks because I'm a round lady, I can't kick my leg past my head.
And he bloody well can. This bitch.
But I want to, because Wesley, you don't look like the dancer.
No,
Do you get what I'm saying?
I understand.
And it's unbox yourself.
Yes.
Mm. Put yourself out of a box. Do things differently and don't... I mean, I see what you're saying. And because Wesley, my favorite thing is dance. I'm a choreographer. I'm like, sure, bro. It's like me doing hip-hop, being a hip-hop dancer. I mean, it's possible. I'm quite a good dancer. But I'm just trying to say it's so interesting that people immediately think... Tracy, but you're a singer and you're a serious actress in Dreamgirls and you did all these. What are you doing as a girl comic? Do you see
a girl comic?
That's how dumb people think.
As a queen of comedy. Dumb people.
Because a lot of people
there are some of them out there are dumb people.
And so a lot of people think that women can't do comedy, and that's also a difficulty.
And I also am super fascinated by the fact that I'm a female comedian.
Yes.
I'm not just a comedian. What does that mean, even?
Exactly.
A female comedian as opposed to a comedian,
I'd love to break some news to people that the most famous woman in the world, entertaining the world, is a comedian.
Yes.
And that's Ellen.
Hello.
So just in case somebody wanted to know.
And she's gay.
Well, I don't know.
And she's a homo.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Wesley's busy playing a female comic, aren't you, at the moment?
I guess I am playing a female at the moment.
It's a great little...
So, role. Do you find, as a female comic, do you get a different reaction? do you get treated differently on stage?
Yes, the patriarchy is a bastard. No, it's interesting because The Mystery of Irma Vep, which is the show that I'm in at the moment with Jonathan Rocksmith, it's playing at Monte Cassino. We play eight characters each, and we jump in and out of costume and you know, different characters within a matter of seconds, and we're having a good time. And he and I both play women. He plays Jane Twisden, which is the maid of the manor, and I play Lady Enid, who is the new mistress of the manor that married Lord Edgar, who's Jonathan. Okay. And they have sort of a ground staff as well, Nicodemus. So they've got two little ground staff and, you know, the two people of the manor. And then later on, Lord Edgar goes to Egypt. And then I play a mummy comes to life named Pevamri. And I do a belly dance. And then...
fabulous! And I have to come and see this show.
It's unbelievable.
It's great.
So it's a horror.
It's actually
take that as a compliment. And for the conservative listeners out there, it's men in dresses. So it really is a horror.
No, because we make great dresses, women in dresses. No, it's a penny dreadful in that it is in the style of Victorian London, and the penny dreadful, for those who don't know, was like a little comic that you subscribe to weekly in Victorian London, and then you know it carried on. Stories of ghouls and vampires and fantastical creatures. So, I mean, you know, well, this show is the theatre of the ridiculous in that it is so silly and off the wall and nothing has to make sense. It's just the opportunity to be ridiculous on stage. And, you know, because also Charles Ludnam, who wrote it, I mean, the plot is so incredibly convoluted that sometimes you lose it and you're like, huh, what's going on? But it's okay because it doesn't matter because you get the gist of it, that, you know, that melodrama. And it's Elizabeth who calls it our silent movie with words. It's It's exactly that. It's a big over-the-top acting, but lots of a party on stage, actually.
Well, a very special guest in studio here on cliffcentral.com. It's The Unview with Nathan Rowe and myself, Alan Ford. It is Wesley Swain Lauder, who is in The Mystery of Irma Vep. And we've got Kings and Queens of Comedy starting tomorrow night. And Tracy Lee Oliver is in studio. We're going to take a quick break from you guys. Jonathan, I must say, there's another great show happening in the same theatre as The Mystery of Irma Vep with a phenomenal actor called Robert Hobbs. It's called Break Your Face. I'm so Lebanese. I love it. I'm going to break your face, eh? Where are you from, eh? You know my cousin is. I'm break your face. So I just wanted to say the following.
Do you know what it says on a Lebanese gravestone?
What?
You know who I was.
Yeah, I know who I was. Yeah. You know who I is. Yeah, something like that, depending which part of Joburg you're from. So after 21 years, a bouncer basically reinvents himself as a motivational speaker. I believe it's absolutely hysterical, and I believe that Robert does a phenomenal job. But I've got to tell you a bit about Robert Hobbs, because he has performed with the likes of Morgan Freeman. He's been directed by Clint Eastwood. He lives between Johannesburg and Los Angeles, and we have him on the line. I want to thank him for joining us on the line. Robert Hobbs, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Alan. Thank you very much for having me on, and good morning to all your listeners. How's it going?
It's excellent, and I think it's brilliant. Break your face. It's so Lebanese. It's so like, oh, how you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's such a phrase. Eh? I mean, it's everybody gets that immediately. I mean, it's the sort of the subtitle behind every bouncer's name. You know, it's like Johnny, break your face, Becker, or whatever. You know, it's just a classic.
So the show's at Monty. Tell me about how the audience have reacted, and it is a one-man play, a one-man comedy. But what is? Tell me about what you're motivating people on.
Well, look, essentially, you know, the show, as much as it's a comedy, and it deals with, I mean, it's a very sort of Joburg-centric show in a way, and it deals with a guy who's essentially trying to reinvent himself. You know, the feedback we've had from people is that it touches a nerve in terms of you know, everyone goes through life and they sort of the stereotypes that are set up, and essentially it's about giving people the opportunity to reinvent themselves and to look past the stereotypes. So as much as we think of a bouncer as being this big tough sort of breaker guy, you know, behind there is actually there's something more to it than just that, you know. Everyone is their own person.
Look at Ray McCauley.
Yeah, sound like Ray McCauley, yeah.
No, Ray McCauley was a bouncer. He was a top Hillbrow bouncer, yes.
Yes, sorry.
Now he's a shepherd.
You're absolutely right.
He was.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Now, look, you know, I mean, it sets up this kind of weird and strange left-field journey that he goes on, which is kind of, you know, he goes off to Beijing and finds love in the most obscure places. That you would never expect someone like that to. This journey, you know, that he goes on is not a journey that you would expect him to go on. And essentially, I guess that's the real premise of that. Behind your face that you show to the world is a person, you know, and irrespective of whether that person is good or bad or whatever, they're still a person. And that's pretty much the premise of it.
Rob, you live in between Johannesburg and Los Angeles. What are the similarities? Are there?
Traffic.
Well, Los Angeles is basically Kensington Park by the sea, you know? That's pretty much what it's like.
It's very true, actually.
It's just a big sprawl, similar to Johannesburg in that it's really spread out and what have you. Obviously, the film industry, which is my primary kind of gig, is based in L.A., although strangely, it's quite interesting because I was chatting to someone over there, and they said to me, you know, the last time they shot in L.A. was something like 10 years ago because, you know, the tax breaks and what have you in all different parts of the U.S. It's too expensive to shoot in Los Angeles these days, except for big TV studios, of course. And it's kind of similar to South Africa in that we've attracted a lot of international productions here through sort of tax breaks and, you know, very generous rebates, et cetera. So, yeah, there's a fair amount of similarities between it. It's just, like I said, it's got an ocean, and that's pretty much the only difference.
I mean, you worked alongside the likes of Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds, Tim Robbins. You've been directed by Clint Eastwood. Of course, you were in the Academy Award nominated Best Picture, District 9, just to name but a few. Who's some of the best people you worked with, and tell us the reasons why and what you learned from them?
Well, yeah, I've been very lucky, Alan. I must say, it's like it's been a fantastic experience for me to work next to these people. I've always, it's like just one of my things. I really would like, I think any artist, actor, whatever, would always want to work with the best in their field, and they really are the best in their field, you know, on many levels. I've had some amazing experiences. I mean, I really, it's been wonderful. Clint Eastwood is an absolute legend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's the sort of professionalism and experience and all of that stuff, you know, it's just unbelievable to be a part of. I remember the first day of Invictus, and I mean, there were obviously a lot of South Africans on Invictus, the story of the 95 World Cup rugby team. And the one thing that I'll never, this is kind of unheard of in film. We started 45 minutes before call time. In other words, everyone, his team that he works with, so excited to get going on this film, and they're so professional, they know him so well, that the camera was set up, we turned over, and we'd done our first scene 45 minutes before the call time on the sure. On the call sheet.
Well,
you know, that was just unbelievable.
Dirty Harry is scary.
We wrapped at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and Clint went, well, guys, go have a beer. Thanks for the great day, you know, like, and that's the kind of professionalism that is amazing to work with. So that was a big highlight for me. Tim Robbins is an amazing, amazing man.
Yeah, Catch a Fire. Hey, there was another interesting movie.
Yeah, yeah. Directed by a guy called Philip Noyce, who's actually, he did, what is it called, The Keeper. He did Salt. I mean, he's quite a, you know, he's known for all of the big Harrison Ford films back in the sort of early 90s. And he's quite a regular, and he's actually married to a South African woman. So, you know, he comes out here quite regularly and shoots out here a lot. He's also like such an amazing professional, you know, I just love that. That's really exciting for me. And then, of course, Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah.
Who is a local guy who's just really done some incredible work, based in Canada at the moment, in Vancouver. And he's just started a little studio, a film studio called Oats, in which he can, and he's shot a series of short films, like 10 short films, which he's putting out on YouTube and sort of for free, including the 3D modeling, which is really interesting, because he's basically crowdfunding his films now. So you can access all of the stuff that he's created and generate your own stuff and create these worlds that hopefully at some point the big studios will come in and finance. So there's some really interesting thinkers out there, you know, and it kind of disrupts the way that we consume content and stuff like that, which I think is amazing.
Robert, we don't have much time, but I'd love to have you in studio. Will you come and visit Nathan and I? We're going to make you sing.
I'd love that.
We'd love you to join us in studio. The show is called Break Your Face. It ends this Sunday at Monte Cassino. Please book your tickets. I believe it's brilliant. I'd love to see it. Yes. I'm sending all the libs because I know they're going to love it.
Sure. Well, there's a story about a porter, so maybe I don't
want to
get there.
Yeah, well, you know, libs, porters, we're all the same.
For richer or poorer.
Robert Hobbs, thank you for joining us, brother. And I'm going to give you a call. We want you in studio the next month. When are you back to L.A.?
I'm going probably in September or so.
Good. We'll love to have you in studio in August, and then we can talk about the industry. Thank you, Robert Hobbs.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, friend. Robert Hobbs joined us on the line. Break Your Face at Monte Cassino happens until this Sunday. Go and see it as a one-man show. But again, what an actor.
Yeah.
Coming back to the two of you in studio, if you've just joined us, our special guests are Wesley Swain Lauder and Tracy Lee Oliver. Two separate productions, two separate things, but they all know each other in the small world.
One day we're going to be here for our show together.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, we will.
And what is the show going to be, do you think?
The show is going to be about...
Go on.
I'm going to be in love with Wes, but then...
But you're going to be a male comic.
I'm going to be a male comic.
So people
comic,
are going to take you very seriously.
Yes.
So seriously. Yeah. And then I think, I don't know, Wes, what's your... I'm going to be in love with you as a male comic, and then...
He can be there. A tiny dancer.
I'll be Tinkerbell.
Ooh. Ooh. There you go. Ooh.
Maybe you guys should just do Peter Pan. Peter Pan and Tink.
But then that. I'm Peter Pan, the yes. comic.
Yeah, you're the little, you're the flying boy.
You, who's
the flying laughing boy.
You could be Captain Hook.
You could be Captain Hook.
I could be Captain Hook.
Let that beard grow longer.
Well, actually, he doesn't have a beard. He's got a moustache.
Well,
well, I mean, this is our show, so.
We can make it hipster. Yeah. We make it hipster. Okay. Joburg hipster.
And then I want to be the king of the world.
You yes, you'll be the article.
I don't
the
think
world.
Jack from Titanic is in Peter Pan.
but isn't it the oh, I thought that the
you mean King of Neverland maybe.
Something like that. I don't know. we'll make it up as we go along.
Do you know why Peter Pan always flies?
Why?
Because he never lands.
That is so bad.
Age appropriate jokes.
That is so. He's not a part of the kings and queens of comedy.
No.
Tracy Lee, Nathan has prepared something for you to sing. Everybody sings on the show.
Man.
Okay. Wesley, you're going to dance.
No.
Yes, you're going to dance, dear.
Okay, just how are they going to see, though?
Okay, so what have
are
we got?
Gonna, we're going to. You're going to record it and then post it on the.
No, it's basically like radio mime. So what happens is Alan and I describe what's going on.
Yes.
The gyrations of his body.
Where's your
like
the muscle movement.
Charades.
Radio charades.
Radio charades.
Yeah. Okay, but we will film it, though. we will
sing.
Okay, wait. So are we starting with a dance? Or are we starting with.
Let's start with a dance.
No. Let's. I think we've got to start with you singing.
Are you ready, Trace?
This is Tracy Lee Oliver has sung across the globe, across South Africa. She's been on 3 television shows singing, and the woman has a voice. So this is a special version.
It's a winter classic
because it's cold.
It's freezing outside in Joburg.
And we're all snotty.
Yes, and we've just seen Disney on Ice, so it's fresh in our minds.
Okay. And on that note, let me just give it a quick punt. Disney on Ice is playing in Durban until the end of this week, and goes to Cape Town next week. So don't miss. Disney on Ice. Thank you, Hazel Feldman, and Showtime. Continue.
Are you ready, Trace?
Yes.
I'm just going to play. I'm just going to pull out my little piano here.
Okay.
And then.
Yes. So I'm the male comic, and I've just had
surgery.
Tracy Lee Oliver.
And I'm recovering from my surgery. I've become so impolite, a fart joke here and there, and dear public crotch scratching makes me feel like I'm obscene. Oh man, I lost the words now. My hormones collide. Oh god, I lost the words. Feel inside. Now I've got this new appendage, and I don't know what to do with it. It feels so wrong, it feels so right. I'm so confused. Let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. Let it stand strong and tall. Let it grow, let it grow. Don't bump into the wall.
That is brilliant. I once heard a very similar version of The Little Mermaid.
What is it about? I'm so confused.
She had a sex change.
So
she can play Peter Pan in her new production.
Is that what was going on?
Did
you get it?
No.
Where did you get it?
No, I mean, I heard it.
So you were having a sex change in this.
It's like the ballet. We need to actually tell the story first to the audience and then then do the ballet.
I didn't tell the story.
Do you
first.
Know the song? Let It Go.
Yes, but now because I actually did a version of the song, that version, I just can't remember the words anymore. Years ago at the Comics Choice Awards.
Really? Yeah?
Yes, and it was about me doing too much of a certain drug and now I've now become a hermaphrodite. So, and I'm in the location. Yeah, John Flismas's brain is so messed up.
Really?
Yes, and then I had a dildo under my skirt.
Oh my God.
And we attached it to a string. And then what happened was I pulled the string at the back. So the dildo lifted my skirt and I stood at an angle. And that was on the let it grow, let it grow. It was freaking amazing. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
Have you heard the naughty little mermaid?
No.
She's like, what's gonorrhea and white is it? What's the word? Burn.
I actually do a song in my set called,
you've just
called Rolling in the Deep.
You go.
And I change it into a song called Burns When I Pee.
Please do it.
And it's like, there's a fire starting in my pants, all because I had a failed romance. I met this guy, man, he was 6 feet tall. Oh, but to my surprise, he never washed his balls. And then, you know, the chorus goes, was it Donovan, Nick, or Jason? Come to think of it, it's cause I had them all. It's cause I had them all. Now it burns when I pee, since they've been inside of me. Now it burns when I pee. Yeah.
Nice. Ellen's dying on the floor.
Ellen
here
is literally...
Can you relate? Because you know, all comedy is funny because you have some kind of connection.
I saved myself from the...
I was so excited to hear Tracy sing such a beautiful song, and you've ruined me completely. You've ruined Disney.
I cannot sing Rolling in the Deep at corporates anymore.
Without a smirk on your
when
face.
When it comes on the list, people email me, oh, this is the list of songs we want you to do. Rolling in the Deep needs to go. I am going to sing Burns When I Pee. And people are going to be like, what is going on?
But Chase, you also do great impressions. Oh, I don't know if you've heard her impressions.
I'm dying to hear.
I mean, I was blown away. I heard you do your comedy thing at Gold Reef City once.
Mm.
And you did... a great Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And a Whitney. She does.
Okay. Oh. So do a couple.
Okay. So Britney Spears would be like, you know, when you want to say, so trying to get Britney's voice and her way of singing, you have to kind of want to say something, but then stop yourself. So it's like.
So like being in a room with Alan when he keeps interrupting you.
Oh, baby, how was I supposed to know? Something wasn't right here. Yeah, that's like Britney.
Okay.
Whitney? And then
from Britney to Whitney.
Oh, Whitney. Oh, my God. I can't do Whitney right now. I'm so hoarse.
Is it too early?
Whitney's always agreeing with herself. So she's always shaking her head like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tracy Lee nods.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, Macy Gray would just be like this. And she'd talk like this. And she'd be like, games, changes, and fears. When will they go from here? When will they stop? Yeah.
I try to say goodbye, but I smoke.
Yes.
Try to walk away, but
I stumble.
I don't know the words.
Speaking about Whitney, The Bodyguard is coming up. Are you going for it?
Might be.
Okay.
I might be.
I must tell you, I went to see the tribute show.
Oh, yes, with Belinda Davis.
With Belinda Davis.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant, eh?
Mm. I'm saying.
It's still, I think, when does it close? I think it closes this week.
Oh, no, she just finished in Cape Town. So she's on finished? Little hiatus
okay.
now, yeah.
Yeah. Because it was superb. I saw it three years ago. Incredible. Whoever gets that role doesn't have to compete against Whitney. You got to compete against Belinda, which is so brilliant.
You mean the role in The Bodyguard?
Yeah.
I suppose so. It's not a story about Whitney though. It's a story about.
But you got to hold those notes.
Rachel, Matt, you have to. It's funny though because I've seen some like YouTube clips about what they're doing overseas with this specific musical, The Bodyguard, and. They are trying to remove it as far from Whitney as a possibility. Yes, because they don't want... There's already a Whitney tribute show out there already, which Belinda's doing, which she is nailing it, killing it. So whoever steps into the role of Rachel Maron in the Bodyguard, I think they're removing it as far as they can because then it just turns out to be another tribute show. You don't want that. Mm-mm. You want it to be
the story of
the movie that was so great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Which was a great movie.
Yeah, it just happens that happen to be sung by Whitney Houston. Yeah.
And I always love asking this question. You know, people, because it's always, who wrote and who was the original singer of I Will Always Love You?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Dolly Parton.
Of course.
You know, people have you heard her version?
I love it.
It is beautiful.
She used to sing it. She had a show, which was like a weekly TV show.
Okay.
And she used to sing it at the closing of every single
like the Sonny and Cher show.
Type of thing, yeah.
But artists used to do that a lot back in the day. I love that. that they used to do that. Well, Diana Ross had her own TV special, Sunny and Cher. Now you say
Dolly. Yeah,
Dolly had her. That's where cool.
I remember it because I love.
They don't do that anymore.
Are you going to dance for us?
No.
I'll dance with you.
You can go onto my Instagram account and just see me dancing there.
Oh, what a shameless pun.
What a feeling.
Come follow me.
I actually wanted to ask you about Irma. Is it a musical? Are there songs in it?
No, there is a song in it. Okay. In the second act, there's a dulcimer duet that's written in. And for those of you who don't know what a dulcimer is, it's like a tiny little violin verse, like guitar thing.
But played with mallets, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, but we use our fingers. Ooh. And basically... You have to use your fingers. Always. And then what we decided to do was Elizabeth turned it into a singing duet between myself and Jonathan.
Oh, that's nice.
So we do sing in the second act of the show, but it isn't a musical. However, like Play With Sign Movie With Words, is that it, because there's lots of underscoring, and I think that's what makes this production specifically different to the ones that you've seen. Because it's very underscored, that sort of like dictates the emotions. And
that's so great. So it's like a film, basically. Yeah, it's like a film. Soundtrack.
Yes, and it's original score written by the wonderful Wessel Oerdendahl, and it's so magnificent, because when we first heard the music, when we were on stage, like in rehearsal and stuff, it all of a sudden turned it into a really awesome opportunity, like an awesome moment where you're like reacting with these big emotions and whatever, and to fantastic underscoring, and it's really cool.
And it's great to see Jonathan playing a comedic role, because his timing is
he's
brilliant.
Very funny.
But we're not focusing on the singing. We can now just watch his acting ability.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because it shows diversity, number one. Number two, it's going to give an audience who's expecting a musical something different.
Well, it's interesting because a couple of people have said, because we just finished Jonathan's musical show.
You were brilliant in, by the way. All of you were brilliant.
I wasn't in it. I directed and choreographed it, but thank you. We cut that.
Oh, because I saw it.
Oh, did you watch the first night?
The first night.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. No, we cut that.
All right. Sorry, I saw it.
That's okay.
You were on stage the first night.
I was. Thank
you.
Someone saw you. I thought I'm going mad for a second. But I didn't actually see you on stage.
And it'll be in the deleted scenes.
It will be. Yes. No. And then you know, we decided to snip that. But what is the question? Some people come to the show expecting him to sing. A very dear lady said, "I don't enjoy the show because there's no singing. Where's the band?" And I'm like, "This is Victorian London. It's not a five-piece, you know."
Voice. Well, that is good, because you're bringing people to see other things.
To watch a really cool
play.
And
then please review. You know, I mean, or read a review before you go and see.
Absolutely,
yes, exactly.
The review.
I did Jonathan's show last year.
I remember
the Harry said, yes.
Which show did you watch? The Sunday show, the last show.
I saw three. I went to see all three of them. I'm a bit of a freak Johnny fan.
So Jonathan Rocksmith and I sang Last Night of the World from Miss Saigon. On the last show on the Sunday, I kissed him on stage, open mouth.
Wow.
Open mouth.
It's a dream come
true. How did Jacob feel about it?
Listen, let me tell
you. Did he have a string attached to his...
No, come on, it's on its stage.
It's stage. No.
And when I did it, Jonathan's face was like he couldn't believe. Because Jonathan's someone who's usually the one in control on stage of everything. And you can see he's so sure of himself and he's so certain. And I was like, "You little bastard, I'm going to kiss you. And you're not going to know that I'm going to kiss you on that last note." And I kissed him. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Did he blush?
He did. Nice. Big time.
You're like, "It's the last night," because I was going to give you a note.
The
but
last
it's okay.
night of the world.
Giving you a note.
I do remember that. That was great. And again, it's great to see these, it's not a one man show, these concerts. Like these Robbie Williams specials that we saw in London. I've seen people doing them because they're really good. And it's great that we don't all rush to buy our tickets. It's nice to see Johnny Clegg is sold out. Jonathan Rocksmith is sold out.
Yes.
Our guys are sold out. It's not just waiting for Robbie Williams, for example.
Yeah, but it's very cool, because the thing is, the difference is that for a long while, we haven't had our own artists sell out our own venues.
Mm.
And that's what's so exciting, especially Jonathan, who's a musical theatre performer. And like Johnny Clegg, who has a history of being a South African icon. You know, versus, you know, a musical theatre performer that manages to sell out the teatro and you know, in a fantastic afternoon of celebrating musical theatre. It's really an awesome thing.
And in the Afrikaans genre, you've seen Karen Zoid sell out, and you've seen in the rock parlor tones, and you see, and this is good stuff. I must say, the Afrikaans genre, you see their concerts are sold out.
There's the loyalty.
From Tien Jordan, it's sold out. I tell you, you go to Schoesbel's booked 3 years. You can't get into Schoesbel's in 3 years' time. That's how full. Have you been? Have you done Schoesbel?
I would love
to. We need to introduce you to a few lekker Boeddha mens.
Yes. Yeah, and ek is heeltemal tweetalig.
You know,
ek is mos van die plaas.
I produce a lot of TV shows for
Come on, Ellen.
The wonderful Cake Net. So I'm always looking for some nice Ellen fresh Ford. Talent.
Why? No, don't sleep on me, please. Just
darling,
call
there's
me.
There's only one person I
call
sleep
me.
On.
Call me.
I think you need to, in order to advertise yourself, you need to sing.
Noi, noi, dritkoi, noi, dritkoi is gemaakt. Dritkoi is vir my gemaakt, kom daar op te slaap. Noi, noi, dritkoi, noi, dritkoi is gemaakt. Dritkoi is vir my gemaakt, om daar op te slaap. Die Alibaba, die Alibaba, die Alibaba, kom oor die see. Die Alibaba, die Alibaba. Die Alibaba kom oor die see.
Ooh, wow, that was like
some
80 blow van ons.
I'll teach you some harmonies.
Yeah, you need
some Afrikaans kerk harmonies.
We prepared a song that we were going to do, but we're not going to do it. We save it for next week.
But didn't you want Wesley to join Chorus Line?
I did actually.
I was thinking, is it a chorus line?
It is Chorus Line.
Go.
Okay. It's just the chorus.
Go.
Are you sure? We will do another one for next
week. Let's do one now.
All right, let's see.
That's go, Wes. Put everyone in a good mood.
That's just the chorus.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Yeah, man.
I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander,
wherever I roam,
I couldn't be fonder of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the trees to make some honey just for me. If you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and
maybe
try a few.
You eat ants, Al?
You better believe it, kid.
The bare necessities.
Still coming.
The bare necessities of life will come to you.
Everybody.
They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Yeah, man.
I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life.
This is advice. Now, when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well, next time, beware.
Don't pick the prickly pear with the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaws. Have I given you a clue, Al?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
You like the big pawpaws?
Yep, I love them.
You ready? Here it comes.
The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you.
And that is today's show, The Unview. Nathan Rowe, thank you for making us happy. Don't miss Disney on Ice. It's moving from Durban to Cape Town. And, of course, Wesley Swain Lauder in The Mystery of Irmuth Bep,
yes,
which is happening for the next couple of weeks at Monte Casino. Robert Hobbs in Break Your Face. That's also happening at Monte until this week, Sunday. And Tracy Lee Oliver, Kings and Queens of Comedy.
Yay!
With big name. Where's it on and when's it happening?
It's at the Sandton Convention Center tomorrow night. Tickets are 185 Rand. We are going to be on the level of the pavilion in the convention center. And the names are, it's me, Tumi Marake, Joey Rizdeen, Rob Van Vieren, Mark Banks. We've got Paul Pops. And the list goes on.
It's going to
please,
be great.
Please, it's going to be lit.
The kings and queens of comedy. Thank you for being in studio.
Thank you for having us.
We love you, Mr. Rowe.
Thank you so much. Good being here, Al.
Of course, this is the one and only, The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
This is CliffCentral.com.